We are joined by Peace River MLA Dan Williams to fill us in on the latest thing, the latest happenings in the riding. And Dan, as always, thank you for taking the time.
Kenny, always happy to be there.
All right. So first off, this is one because I live right in Peace River, so I saw that you had a chance to go and check out the bridge. Overall, what did you learn when you went to go and check it out? I know a lot of people around here are very excited as to that project's completion.
Yes. Number one thing I'm excited about is the fact that it is on budget and, cross your fingers, knock on wood, a few weeks early as well for completion for that section of the bridge on that side. Obviously, there's going to be updates to the old bridge as well, which will continue on. But that bridge is to the credit of all the men and women in the contractor and also in our government through Alberta Transportation, who have got that project and kept it on track and got it done with such a high degree of professionalism. Very, very impressive.
Awesome. And speaking of transportation issues, we know that Minister Rick MacKay, for Transportation Minister, took a trip to the area. You were part of those meetings also as well with McKenzie County. Overall, it sounds like he really wanted to come up there and see what some of the transportation issues were. And I understand, at least from talking to people up there, that the ferry is quite a hot topic.
Yeah, that's right. We're lucky enough to have the Minister of Transportation come up to the riding, the Northern Reaches. We had a chance to meet with a number of different groups, First Nation community, and look at transportation needs in probably one of the remote parts of the province, if not the most remote part of the province, in Little Red River First Nation. And then we had more of an opportunity to continue talking to McKenzie County and industry leaders in the area, and discussion of a lot of different questions of upgrade for infrastructure and transportation. We had a lot in the Northern Peace that was constructed and is now coming to near the end of its life cycle. And part of that is a question of the ferry's life cycle coming to an end and what the options are going forward. So the minister was taking in some information on preferred options, and he was happy to get a chance to not only meet with individuals in the elected offices, but also folks in industry as well.
All right, awesome. And I guess I'll touch on another one because I saw a very interesting photo on your Facebook page, and your facial hair looks a little bit different. I very interesting mustache you got there, and we all know that Minister MacKayver did shave it for a Kids Cancer Foundation. He did tell us about it on the website a couple of weeks ago, and I'm now wondering, with the mustache that you got, are you considering a fundraiser or a cause to get behind?
I wish people cared enough about my mustache and facial hair, but no. This is nothing more than recreational facial hair for me. I'm not that altruistic, at least not yet. It'd be lovely if I could fundraise for a cause like that. But I'm very impressed with what Rick MacKayver did. He's been a politician in his hometown of Calgary for decades now, very well known there. And his wife actually started a foundation for kids with cancer after her eldest son passed away from cancer in his formative years. And so she and he have had a real heart for that cause, and it was impressive to see nearly $500,000 raised for that. And as everyone who works in charitable organizations know, that right now during COVID, it's particularly difficult for churches, not-for-profits, charitable organizations to fundraise. So it was great to see so many folks turning out and supporting a really important cause.
No doubt, and definitely a creative way to do it. And that's a 45-year-old mustache. That's even, I think, older than both you and me. So, you know, definitely difficult to do it, but at the same time, great cause. Also, as well, speaking of another thing of great houses, you were praising Boreal Housing for the work that they've done. Because let's face it, Fort Vermilion, obviously in April, went through a very tough time. Had a scare this weekend, which, thank God, became no more than just a scare. And obviously, Boreal Housing up there has really been such a pillar of strength for that community, hasn't it been?
Yeah, I want to go out of my way to thank all the staff, the administration, and the volunteer board members who are on that board. And it goes across the entire constituency. There are a number of individuals who are volunteering, whether it be their time on school boards or housing authorities, elected officials municipally, through COVID, through the oil crash, through floods and fires, the last 2 years, they are the beating heart of the community. And it's true that Boreal Housing Authority has worked tremendously hard and put in incredibly difficult situations as individuals and family members are nearing the end of their life and the lodges that they run. It's difficult. It's very difficult, especially with COVID, where folks want to have a deep and intimate connection with their family members, often their parents who are in there and often suffering from all sorts of ailments that go along with the aging parents. They're put in a tough spot. And I have a huge amount of respect for the work that those individuals are doing, and I'm going to stand with them as they continue to serve the community.
Amen. All right. And also as well, I found this one very interesting because, you know, every so often you're going to get some people that complain about the pandemic and how it affects them and how things have changed. But you know what? Comparing Alberta to other provinces in Canada and obviously states in the United States, and you had pointed this out as well recently, Alberta compared to so many other jurisdictions really in terms of COVID kept so many things open and didn't completely stop the economy. So I'd like to kind of think that Alberta was in more, I would say, progressive in terms of keeping the economy going. But yet still every so often, some people would say that there's too many restrictions in place, but at least in your opinion, do you think that like Alberta was pretty relaxed with restrictions when it came to other jurisdictions around North America?
Well, I think it's a great question. I wouldn't say we were relaxed. I'd say that we used evidence, and we had under 200 deaths across the province. Our death rate, which is every death is sad and tragic, was much, much lower, both in whole numbers and per capita, than we saw in provinces like Ontario and Quebec. And that's not to criticize how they've operated. It's to give credit to the people of Alberta and the individuals who worked on the front lines with the work they did on COVID. In the middle of that incredibly successful response to the public health crisis, we also had the least amount of restrictions in our economy. So knock on wood, we really got to have our cake and eat it too in many ways in terms of a public policy response. We tried to limit as much as possible traumatic situations with people passing from COVID. And I believe, like I said, though every death is tragic, we did a good job minimizing that. At the same time, we had more of our resource economy open than any other province, and less of our GDP per capita was affected. We had a very, very small amount by comparison. The largest effect in our economy, which happened at the exact same time as COVID, was the crash in oil prices, the negative, which is something we had not seen before. I haven't seen in my lifetime. I don't believe it's happened at any point in Alberta's history. And we have so much of our provincial revenue coming from that, so much of our economy in Peace Country and average households and businesses comes from that. It's going to have an effect on folks. And that was the biggest effect. And the economic data now that we're seeing afterwards is bearing that out. The good news is that elected officials in Alberta are happy to return to normal and make sure that the freedoms that folks have are returned to them as soon as possible. And that's the standard that I ask folks to judge us by. In times of crisis, we'll take the steps we need to reluctantly and as minimal as possible, but judge us by how quickly we're anxious to make sure you can run your life again. Because I got into politics because I trust the average individual and the decisions that they can make for themselves and for their businesses and for their families. And that is what this government has done. Is over and over again, it's shown that we ultimately trust average individuals to make the decisions that are best for them.
Awesome. And now I'm looking at one thing here that I see is that on June 29th, applications for small and medium enterprise relaunch grant, that was open. That's up to $5,000 per business. And obviously, the small businesses, that's the heart and soul of so much of the Peace Country up here. That's got to be welcome relief for this constituency.
Well, that's right. Over 95% of businesses and are small and medium-sized businesses. And the vast majority of those employed in businesses are employed in small and medium-sized businesses as well. So it's not just the business owners that this is helping out. It's also the employees and the families that depend on that income. So it is important. If anyone out there is looking for information on how to access that, please reach out to my office. We can be found online, and if you need to email us, we can be reached at peace.river@assembly.ab.ca.
All right, Dan, and final question, because it's the $10 billion question, because obviously we saw that the Premier announced a very aggressive plan to get the province going again, and I use the word aggressive because obviously $10 billion in one shot is quite a lofty spending, but obviously due to the pandemic, drastic measures, as the Premier said, a lot of times had to be taken, didn't they? But this is obviously, it seems like it's really going to diversify things in terms of investments here.
Well, that's exactly right. It's a huge amount of money. We understand that. But the fact is that in this time right now, there is a role to play for government. While businesses and individuals are struggling, there is the opportunity for government to be able to stimulate the economy. Now, it's not a long-term solution. It's something we can do at this time, right now, especially in the midst of our construction season this summer. And going into next construction season as well. Ultimately, though, the solution here is going to have to be a growing economy, and that's not something government can just spend its way out of. So we understand that right now there's a place for this, that we need to be thoughtful, and we need to make sure that as many folks can keep their jobs as possible. We need to help with that. But over a long term, you're going to see economic policies in place from this government that will continue to attract investment and make it an attractive place for businesses, entrepreneurs, individuals to want to set up, to want to come to, and they're going to have to, you know, have a tough time explaining to themselves and their clients why they're not in Alberta. And that ultimately is the goal of this government, is to have a growing economy so that we can supply what we need to for public services by continuing to grow.